The reading is from Jonah chapter 1, verses 4 to 17. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, so we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Jonah's prayer. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights.
Bless you, Joe. Thank you so much. Guys, do you want to come and join us over here? Come and join us over here. Save my angle of my neck, okay? What a story. What a fantastic story. And the more you think about Jonah, it's really not that much to do with a fish at all. I know when you think of Jonah, you think, that's all to do with a fish. Not a whale, a fish. Somebody told me on the door, bless them. But actually, it's not actually really to do much about that either, really. The more we look into Jonah on week number 2, we see that actually it's not really about just a fish. It's about so much more. Last week, Jonathan helpfully took us through the first part about how Jonah ran away. Jonah ran away from God's call. Jonah ran away from God's commission. Jonah tried to run away from God's presence. And thank you, Jonathan, for last week. I don't know if he spoke to anybody else, but it felt like he was just speaking to me last week. But actually, now here we come today to this second part in our series of Jonah. And I've entitled it, "You Can Run, But You Can't Hide." It was supposed to be, "But He Came Back." But actually, that doesn't really describe what it's all about. It says, "You can run, but you can't hide." And this morning I was encouraging people tonight to come out because I believe God had a message for us, and bless the one or two who came from this morning's service. Thank you for that. It's interesting, isn't it, really? When a pastor says to his people, "I've got a message from God for you." But maybe if I told them that there was a big announcement about my position in the church, maybe they would have come there. Maybe I'll try that next time just to get them on board to see if they would come. But it's interesting, isn't it, really, that when we believe God has spoken to someone and God wants to speak to us, how then maybe we're just a little bit disconnected. Well, listen to it online is the easy option, but sometimes we'll forget about that. So tonight I want to speak to those that are present, those that are listening, to say you can run, but you can't hide from God. And we see clearly in this passage of Scripture that Jonah realized that you could run, but you couldn't hide. And that's the same for us all. We can run from God as far away as we want to run, but we cannot hide from God who created us, who knows everything about us, who made us, who formed us, who knew us before we even knew him. How can we run away from a person who knew us even before we knew him? And the question I want us to look around tonight is to look at what Jonah says, but I want us to ask ourselves some really, really, really intimate questions tonight. It's time to ask some difficult questions in our faith. It's time to get connected with God so that we can be the people that God wants us to be, disciples that are missional and that are making a difference. You see, here's Jonah on this boat. We've seen it read to us. Thank you, Joe, for that. And he's on this boat and he's running away. They don't know where I'm going. They won't catch me. What about us? How often in our lives, I'll accept it even if you won't, that we run away from God, but yet God loves us. God created us. God is all for us and never against us. God will pick us up when everybody spits us out or rejects us. God will love us when others condemn us. God will give us that comforting voice when nobody else does. And yet, still as we see this story, Jonah was running away, but he couldn't hide from God. But even today, there's some of us, if we dare to even admit it, why don't we admit it? Because God knows it anyway. So what's the point of keeping it from him? You can run, but you can't hide. Church, we need to understand this evening that we can run away from God, but we can't hide from him. Because God has a plan and a purpose for you and me. But why do we run? I'll get to my notes in a minute. Why do we run? We run because it just sometimes is too hard. We run because we just don't understand the plans of God. We run because we just feel that we're not quite ready for it. And all those expressions that I've just shared with you, they are because that's focusing on us as a human being. But actually put God into us and say that he lives within us by his Spirit, then surely then we change. I love hymns, you know. Sorry to tell you that, but I do. I'm not sure about some of these new funky songs. We sing them. That's okay, you know. But older songs have such depth of substance to them. Anybody know the song, Count Thou Fount of Every Blessing? Some of these oldies, come on, put your hands up. Who knows it? Come on. Look at some of the young people don't know it. Oh, listen to me for a second. It says this. It's a really wonderful hymn. We're going to respond to it later on. It says, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger with his precious blood. Proud to wander, Lord, I feel it. Proud to leave the God I love. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I constrain to thee. You see, this is a hymn that speaks about how we wander from God. It speaks about words that say how quickly we are prone to wander. And we are, aren't we? So often we wander from God. We're prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love, it later on says. And actually, sometimes we do. We leave God. We disconnect from God. We run away from God. But God actually says, don't do that. Come to me because I have a plan and a purpose for you. I got a sense this week as I was away, just a bit of space to pray and to walk and to listen to Jesus, get a real sense that there's some of us here tonight that we've been running away from God for far too long. We've been coming to church. Oh, yeah. We've been doing the old Christian thing. But actually, we've been running away from God over certain issues in our life. And God wants to say to us tonight, confront them. Deal with them as I prepare you to do the things I have for you to do. So the first thing is this. Jonah needed to pay attention. It must have been a really bad storm because these men who were professional sailors who had seen it all were afraid. Have you watched that movie? I don't know. It's on some TV channel where the people go sardine fishing. Have you ever watched it? You know, they go to catch fish in the... No, nobody ever watched it? It was all on in Peru because it was the only thing in English. And they go into the deeps of the North Sea and their boat is going up and down and they're all being sick and nobody saw it? Oh, it's quite a good thing. And they catch all these fish, and then they go back to the Isles of Scotland, to Shetland, and they give their cat to the people there. But these guys, it must have been, Jonah needed to pay attention, because it must have been a really bad storm. The sailors were afraid. They'd never seen anything quite like this storm before. They were hardened sailors, and they were used to the dangers of the life at sea, but this storm was the worst they've ever had encountered before. This is a big storm. This would be on BBC News. This would be a big storm. Notice what they did. Two things to try and save their life. They prayed and they threw their cargo overboard. And Jonah had to start to pay attention because these sailors were getting rather concerned. And the first thing I want to say to us is we need to pay attention and not hide from God, but we need to pay attention to God. We need to pay attention to what God has to say to us. Because here, Jonah had to start to pay attention. Because Jonah, let's be facing the fact, Jonah knew that he had legged it. He knew that he was running away. Some commentators say this, that in this moment, the seas were so bad and the scale of it was just incredible because Jonah was being disobedient. And some commentators say this. They say, actually, sometimes when we are disobedient in our own personal walk with Jesus, we can affect those around us as well. And some say that actually the storm was so, so bad. The sailors were getting so, so upset about it. And some commentators say this, helpful or not helpful, I find it helpful, that actually sometimes the sin, because this is all because of the sin of Jonah, we get that, don't we? And so some say, well, actually the sin of Jonah was starting to affect the people around them on the boat. Because that storm was there because of Jonah's disobedience, not because of the disobedience of the other sailors. Why did I say soldiers for? But actually, and one commentator, William Barclay, who I use a lot, he says this. He said, actually, sometimes when we have sin in our own life that we don't deal with, sometimes that affects everybody in the church's life. And I kind of go with that a little bit. If we have one rotten apple and we put that rotten apple in a cart of other fresh apples, what will happen to the fresh apples? Talk to me. They go bad. This has been one of the hardest years of my life. I'll admit it to you. And I've been trying to sort out the apples a bit. Because actually sometimes rotten apples affect the other apples. And some people say that actually Jonah here, because his disobedience, because of his sin, it was going to affect everybody else. And the scholars there encourage us to say, actually don't allow our unforgiven sin, don't allow the things that we do that are wrong, that we know are wrong, happen, because they don't just affect us, but they affect others. I take heart from that because I know I'm a sinner. Maybe you're not. Try my best. But I have to really grapple with that because what I'm saying is actually my sin affects us. And my sin affects where we're going and what we're doing. Wow. Oh my goodness. That made me pray a lot this week. And actually, here we are on this boat. Jonah needed to pay attention. Let's just say that Jonah needed to wake up. As the ship is tossed by the waves, as the ship groans and creaks under the power of the storm, as the sailors were throwing their cargo overboard, where is Jonah? Is he there with them? No. He is in the hold, fast asleep. Sorry, it's quite funny, isn't it? Fast asleep. He is in the hold of the ship, fast asleep. You might think he would be on deck helping the other sailors. Not a chance. He's down below taking a little nap. How many Christians are down below taking a little nap when the church needs to grow? I'll leave that one with you. So the captain approaches him and says, "How is that you are sleeping? Get up. Call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." I wonder if he was that polite. Do you reckon he was? I don't know. Maybe that's a nice modern translation for us. But we have to believe the word is the word. So we'll believe that he was being really polite. But you would have thought he would have taken him by the scruff of the neck and said, "What on earth are you doing?" So the captain approached him and said, "What are you doing sleeping? Get up. Call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us that we will not perish." They knew that it was a bad storm. How could Jonah sleep during a terrible storm like this? How could Jonah not realize that his life and the lives of others were in danger? How could he sleep at a time like this? The answer is simple. Jonah thinks he was outrun God. He thought, "I'm all right. I'm just down sleeping. It's all going to be fine." He thinks he's got out of it. He thinks he's off the hook. Why worry? Everything's fine. Why be concerned about God? I've run away. It's all going to be okay. And then the captain yells at Jonah, "How can you sleep at a time like this? Get up." You see, Jonah was sleeping because he thought it was okay. Having a bit of a dull moment there, really. A bit of a, "Oh, wake up, Jonah," sort of thing. This is to do with you, Jonah. Look what happened next. At this point, the captain said, "Who no doubt is a pagan," the captain was, "has more spiritual insight than Jonah does. Seeing the danger, the captain wants Jonah to wake up and start praying. Pray, Jonah, pray. Maybe your God will save us." You see, Jonah had to wake up and see God. We need to pay attention to God. We need to wake up to the things of God that God is doing in our lives. So I'm just taking my jacket off, nothing else. That wouldn't be very blessing for you. Jonah needs to be found out. Each man said to his mate, "Come on, let's us cast lots so we can learn on whose account will calm this storm." So they started to do lots. And then a man became extremely frightened and said, "How could you do this? For the man who you knew was fleeing from the presence of God is the one that's done it." See, Jonah is now found out by the casting of lots in verse 7. You see, Jonah was caught out at this point. And have you ever run away from God and have you ever got caught out? No? Oh, God bless you all then. But Jonah got found out because the reality of this was what? Jonah got found out. These people who were pagans were praying, but Jonah wasn't even bothered. But he got found out. And Jonah had to change. So we, like Jonah, need to pay attention. You can run, but you can't hide from God. If we confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if we've given our life to Him, if we're part of this fellowship, of this church, serving God in this place, you can run from God, but you can't hide. God has got things for us to do. Maybe I'm just talking to myself this evening, but God has got things for us to do, church. No one can outrun God, not even you, in modern 2016. It says in Scripture, doesn't it, from the highest place to the lowest place, to the depth of the oceans, can we run away from God? No. And why would we want to? We only want to run away from God because we're lazy and we don't want to do the things of God, I want to suggest to you. But God is loving and caring and has a purpose and a plan for our purpose and plan on this earth is to do what? Is to serve God. I love my wife. I love being a husband. I'm going to see her tonight when I get home. That'd be rather relevant, wouldn't it? I'm going to see her, but don't be worried. We're going to have a day off tomorrow. But actually, you know, I love being a husband to Anjanette. I love being a father to Jess and Sam. I love being a pastor of God's church. I love all those things. But before any of those things, I'm first and foremost here to serve God before I serve them. Because that's why I'm here. I'm grateful God's given them to me. But I'm here to serve God, and so are you. Not saying they're not important, but my role here on earth and your role on earth once we confess Jesus Christ is to build his kingdom and to further his kingdom and to do the things that God wants us to do so that other people can come into his kingdom. Do we want other people to come into the kingdom of God? Or are we just satisfied with just us? Then if we're just satisfied with us, you know what? It's time we just close the doors. It's the time you find yourself another senior pastor. Because we want to see growth. We want to see people come to faith. We want to see people alive in God. We want to see us turn around what we do so we're missional and relevant so that people come to know Jesus. But it has to start with us. Not running away like Jonah did, but coming back to God. To paying attention, to waking up. To be found out. Jonah was found out in that moment. Fourth thing is this. Jonah needed to be sacrificed. So they said to him, What should we do to you? They said to him. Well, what was he said? He said this, pick me up and throw me into the sea. See, because he knew then that he had done it wrong. He knew that he had done it wrong. And he said, you know what? Wow. I think there is the key. If there's one key in this, that's it. Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Because I've messed up. I have so messed up. And until that point, he was still trying to leg it. He was still trying to run away. He wasn't really paying attention. He didn't really want to wake up. He didn't want to be found out. But when he paid attention, when he woke up, when he was found out, he had that moment when he said, wow, actually, I can't do it anymore. He said to me, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you. Jonah 1. Verse 11 to 12. Jonah knew it was all his fault. So Jonah said, get rid of me. Did Jonah know what was below the sea? No, he didn't. You know, the big fish didn't come up and say, hi, Jonah, don't worry, I'm here to catch you in a minute. No. You ever seen a talking fish before? No. But he came to that realization that he knew that he had done wrong. And the question I want to put to all of us, me included, is how many times have we run away from God, tried to hide from him, tried to do it our own way, tried to live our own way, tried to just ignore everything he has to say. But when have we said, pick me up and throw me into the sea? We might have not said, pick me up and throw me into the sea, but we may have said, Lord, I want to sacrifice myself to you again. Because I've kind of been not listening. I haven't really been paying attention. You've woken me up. You've found me out. I say I'm all doing all this, but I'm actually not doing anything. I say to people, I can't do this and I can't do that because I'm too busy doing this and that, but actually I'm not. I give all the excuses in the book that I can give so I don't have to commit to God more than I'm already doing. Etc., etc., etc. But Jonah comes to that realization that when we go back to verse 1 of Jonah's, he was called by God to go and do something. There in that boat, he said, you know what? I need to just sacrifice myself. And I love it that actually he realized there and then that he had to do that to save everyone, not just himself. I don't know if you've ever been in an environment like that. I know a friend of ours who had some good friends who their husband sacrificed himself for the sake of 45 of the people in Africa just a few months ago. It was in the news. He stood in front of everybody and said, I'll take the bullet. So 45 of the people still have life today, and her heart still grieves tremendously for her husband. And the only thing that gets her through is this, is that he sacrificed it all for Jesus. Would I have stepped in? Or I would have stepped aside. I hope I would have stepped in. Jonah knew that it was all his fault. So when the sailors asked what they should do to make the sea calm, he offers the only solution that makes sense. Pick me up and throw me into the sea. I know it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you. But then Jonah said, throw me overboard. The soldiers were concerned about that, weren't they? Because they didn't want to get blamed for that by God. So throw me overboard, the soldiers. The sailors. It says sailors here too. It doesn't say soldiers, it's just me. Sorry, I'm not perfect. Maybe you did a great job. Pick me up and throw me into the sea, he says. But then Jonah said to them, the sailors, instead of that, they didn't want to throw him into the sea. They wanted to do their best to row back to the land. So they started to row like rowing like you've never seen anybody row before in their life. Never mind about the Olympic British team. They were better than that. They were rowing and rowing and rowing because they didn't want to throw him over. However, the men rowed desperately to return to the land, but they could not, for the sea had become even stormier against them. And they wanted to do that because they were getting a sense there, the sailors, that this God was kind of powerful and they didn't want to disobey this God. And we see later on that once they throw him over, we see that they start to worship God. And then you imagine, where did they go? Where did they sail to? Do you remember where they were going? Tar. You can imagine there would have been revival there because there's a whole boat of people who then knew the Lord. Maybe we'll look at that next week. So finally, because they couldn't row any further, they threw him over. In order to save this ship, we must sacrifice him. They called on the Lord and said, we earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of man's life, and do not let innocent blood be on us. For you, O God, you, O Lord, have done. For you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased. So they picked up Jonah, threw him onto the sea, and the sea stopped its storm straight away. I don't know about you, but is that a moment you would have loved to have seen? Absolutely. I would have loved to have been on that boat. Well, not the first part, because I remember going on a boat once with Jack Hooper. Remember that, Jack? We'll keep that little secret. It wasn't very well, bless him, but it's all right. Nor was I, actually, but I didn't admit it. But brave for him for admitting it. But actually, you know, I wanted to be on that. Imagine their faces as soon as he went over. They would have gone, wow. Once they saw what had happened, when Jonah went over the side of the boat, they thought, wow, that is a God of great power and authority. And some scholars will then say that they then went on to worship that God. So Jonah was found out, but Jonah said, I'm going to sacrifice myself. So he threw himself over. Well, they threw him over. Could you imagine what he was thinking? This is it. Probably deserved it. Did he? I guess so. And there's a lot that we deserve as well, isn't there? There's a lot that we deserve too. But as God, as they threw him over, and he splashed in the water. No, I don't think there was any rings, you know, or lifeboats. Maybe, I don't know, it doesn't say. Maybe they, do you reckon there was, Joe? I don't think there was, do you? No, I don't think so, Joe. So they throw him over, And as he sinks down, suddenly, would have been a bit smelly, right enough, but never mind. He was alive. And so as he falls into the water, God sends his big fish and saves him. It's the same for us, isn't it? It's the same for us. When we don't pay attention, when we don't wake up, when we're found out, when we eventually say, look, God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm not going to jump over the boat, but I'm so sorry that what I've done has not honored you. What does God do to us? Does he say to you, I'm going to let you sink to the bottom of the sea? Imagine that in Southend. Goodness me. Oof. Probably get caught halfway down with some Coca-Cola cans and all that sort of stuff. But would he do that? No, he wouldn't. Because he created us and he loved us and he has a purpose for us and he has a plan for us. So even though Jonah said, I'm going to sacrifice myself because I know I've done wrong, this big fish comes on and catches him. And the same is for us. Have we ever been disobedient? Have we ever not paid attention? Have we ever fallen asleep or been found out? Yes. Jonah came to that place of saying, God, I'm sorry. I really am sorry. I'm so sorry, I'm going to throw myself in. Because I know that my sin is affecting all these other people around me. So he throws himself in and he gets caught. What does that mean for us? It means for us this, that actually there's times when we are disobedient. When we run from God and we can't hide. But praise God, we come back to realization of who he is. And in that moment of realization of who he is, what does he say to us? He says, you know what? Your sins are forgiven. I've got a good friend of mine who's a student pastor when I was in Carshalton Beaches. And I keep saying to him, every time I see him, he's gone away from the ministry. He left the church, he left his family, and he left God. And I often say to him, come on, mate, just come back. He said, I can't come back. I said, yes, you can. He said, no, I can't. I said, yes, you can, because you know what Spurgeon's College taught you. You know that God has forgiven you already, if your heart is right. But he's not back yet. He's not back yet. And there's people that we know that aren't back yet. And sometimes that's because we don't allow them to come back rather than God, because God always says they can come back. So Jonah needed to pay attention. Jonah needed to wake up. Jonah was found out. Jonah sacrificed himself, got swallowed up by a whale. And then Jonah needs to then now go on and do the things that God has called him to be. Jonah needs to go on and be the person that God had wanted Jonah to be. Now the sailors started to see what they had seen, and seeing what had happened straight before their eyes, they started to think and worship God as Jonah was inside the belly of a fish. Says there, verse 17. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and for 3 nights. You see, you can run, but you can't hide. We can run as far as we want from God, church, but we can't hide. We can run as far away from whatever we want to run away from, but we can't hide. What does this passage have to teach Jonah? I think we've seen it. What does it have to teach us? I think it has to teach us several things. The first thing is this, that God wants us to pay attention to the things he has planned for us to do. Because it's us that God wants to do it, not somebody else. I don't need to pay attention. God will use somebody else. No. If God has got a plan for you, God wants to use who? You. I hear so many people in the church say, well, God will use somebody else. No. If God has got a plan for you, he wants to use who? You. No, he'll use somebody else, not me. No. It says so many places in Scripture that when God has a plan for us, it's for us. When God has a plan for you, it's for you. When God has a plan for me, it's for me. And I can say, well, I'm going to run away from it, God. Well, then, will he use somebody else to do it? Possibly. But I don't think so. Because he wants me to do it. So we need to pay attention to God. And we need to realize that if God wants us to do something, we've got to do it. We've got to wake up. And we've got to understand that it's God who wants us to do it. But sometimes we don't do what God wants us to do. Why? Because we're running away from things. We're running away from God because we're running away with the things that have happened in our lives that are distracting us from God. Or we're running away from the things that God wants us to do when we just, quite frankly, don't want to do them. We're going to listen to that song in a few moments' time. We're going to respond to it. But it says, in one of the verses, it says, hear my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. We learned about the heart this morning. A great morning. Well, I'm a bit biased. That man you saw on this platform this morning, I just love him more than anybody. Apart from, well, my wife and Jesus. But he's a great guy. So grateful. He's kept me, taking care of me for years. I appreciate him. But I want to ask you, as we come to sort of respond, what are you running away from like Jonah in your life? What are I running away from? Jonah was running away from what God had asked him to do. He was being disobedient. But God got him in the end. When God got him, was he nasty to him? Was he? He sent a big fish. There's a big enough fish in the sea for me one day. But, you know, he said a big fish. Did he have the right to say, Jonah, make you sink right to the bottom just till you hardly got any air left, then I'll get you? Probably, but he didn't. Well, yeah, we don't know, but I don't think he did. But Jonah was scooped up for 3 days and three nights. And then we see next week that what did he do then? He didn't just start spit him out in the middle of the sea and make him swim back. He goes up to land and just goes, I love that bit of scripture. Yeah, it said the scripture, just spat him out. You know, can you imagine that picture? Thanks, mate. But you know, he spat him out. You see, God was good to him, even though he ran away from him. And I want to ask you this evening, because I've asked myself this question this week a lot, and I've had some hard times with Jesus this week, if I'm honest with you, because I know who I am. And I'm willing to accept that. But what are you running away from tonight that is stopping you being who God has intended you to be? What are you running away from tonight that is stopping God use you for who God has created you to be? I look at all the young people over there. You are the future. You are the church today, but you're the church of tomorrow. You're the leaders that are going to lead us. Some of you looking at me like a little smirk, but you are. Like it or lump it, you are. And what are you running away from today that God has got planned for you? What are we running away from today that God has got planned for us because God wants to build his kingdom through us? Are we running away from the past? Because the past was so, but you don't know my past, Pastor. I don't need to know. I just know mine, and that's enough. But sometimes we don't do the things that God wants us to do today. We run away and we hide from God because of our past. But God said, I've forgiven you and I love you. And I've forgiven you and I love you. And I've forgiven you and I love you. He says that to us so many times. What are you running away from? Are you running away from the future? Because God may actually say to you, you know what? You're not having this comfortability anymore. I'm going to call you to something different. When you haven't got what you got now, but you've got less wealth, but more of God. Don't be worried about it. It's always better to have more of Jesus and less of money. Let me tell you, I wish I had it again, because my dependency on God was far greater. But sometimes we're running away from the future because we just don't want to change. But God needs us and needs you and me to do what God has called us to do so we can bring about change in this world. And he's not going to use somebody else, but he's going to use you. Are you running away from God's will for your life? Are you running away from God's will to your life? Is God's will for your life just to do what you're doing now? Possibly yes, but possibly no. I've met with some of you who are in this congregation tonight over this last year, and I've said to you, God has got so much more for you. If you'd only let him use you. What are you running away from? You're running away from the not knowing the future. You're running away from God's will for your life because God's got a plan for you. And God's going to grow this kingdom of God's people in this place when we fulfill the plan that God has for us. We can run, but we can't hide. Are you running? I heard this in a book that I'm reading at the moment related to this story. Are you running away from joy in your life? You think, well, what does that mean? Are you running away from God because you just don't want to be happy? You don't want to be joyful? As a meeting last week, the head of the Baptist Union of Scotland said, isn't it amazing that in churches all around the Baptist Union of Scotland, they speak about joy, but there's not much joy in any of the lot of them. You know, because we're not, you know, but God has joy for us. Are you running away from the gifts that God has got within you because you're scared to use them? We've got so many gifted, talented people in this church, and if not, like never before, now is the time to use those gifts. Jonathan and I, as we do every Sunday morning, we meet in my office and we pray. We were praying this morning. Well, chatting, actually. We weren't praying. We were chatting. We probably should have been praying, but we were chatting too much about how we're going to turn this ship around to use the amazing gifts that I see every single Sunday before me. Are you running away from the gifts that God has got for you to be used? Are you running away from a whole life discipleship relationship with Jesus? Because actually it might demand more of you than you think you can give. I want to simply say to you tonight, you can run from God, but you can't hide. None of us can. God has got amazing plans for each and every one of you. Now, if we go to the end of Jonah, which we won't, He doesn't get it, does he? Even in the last verse of the book of Jonah, he still doesn't get it because he wasn't happy because he thought they should be, you know, God, why should you love them? But actually, the question I want to ask you, because I've asked myself this question this week, what do I have to do in my life? What do I need to ask for forgiveness for? What do I need to confront God on so I can stop hiding from him? And be honest with him. Because in my honesty and my frailty, I know because he saved Jonah with a big fish, that he's going to say to me, it's okay, come on, come on. I'm glad you sacrificed yourself. I'm glad you learned your lesson, but come on. Let's do it again. You see, it's not about a fish, is it? It's simply about Jonah being disobedient. Jonah needed to pay attention to wake up, to be found out, to be sacrificed, and to be the person God has called him to be. I was with a guy in our church just a few weeks ago, and he spoke to David this morning, because he used to work in Guildford. He's not here tonight. And I sat with him in his home, and he told me, well, you know, this. I used to do this, and used to do that, and he used to do this, and he used to do that in Guildford, and this and that, and I'm thinking, found out, mate. I know what you did now, because I know Steve, who you know, and I know what you did in the past. And I asked him the simple question, so why aren't you not doing it now? He got found out. And he's going to be involved in our search committee for our new youth and children's pastor, which will be absolutely superb. We're going to respond in a minute. Worship group, you don't need to come up, because sometimes you don't have an opportunity to respond. And we're going to have that song, that old one. What's it called again? Thank you. Just making sure you're awake. We're going to have that song played in a minute. And what I want you to do is this. We're going to finish with this song tonight. We're not singing any more songs. I want you to sit there and I want you to ask God seriously tonight. And I wish there was more of us here as well to ask the question, but you know in your life, don't you? And I know in my life what I'm running away from. That nobody sees. And nobody's found out about yet. And you know in your life too, don't you? And it may be some of those things I've said, you're running away from the past. That's sad, isn't it, if we run away from the past, because the past is forgiven. And long may we hear that. Are you running away from the future? I was with Joe and Jill just a few weeks ago speaking about Africa and South America, and you know, they know and I know that our lives have been enriched by what we've seen across the other side of the world. And I had to trust God. I couldn't run away from his future in my life. I had to be obedient to it. And I am who I am today for better, I think, because of it. Are you running away from God's will in your life? Are you running away from responsibility in this church where actually we need you all to get involved with the gift that God has given to you? So often our circumstances of life distract us from the will of God in this church. We can shine it up and make it all look glitzy if we want, but the reality is this, that God has a will for us to be used by his gift. God has a will for us. He wants us to use it to further his kingdom rather than fulfill our own empires. Are you running away from the gift that you know God has given to you, but you've done nothing about it for years? Are you running away from having a whole life relationship, discipleship, a whole life discipleship relationship with Jesus because you know it's going to demand everything of you? Now let me tell you, it might demand everything of you, but the gain is greater than the pain, isn't it? I was with some people yesterday on a missional conference, and Mrs. Wheeler was with me, and talk about this whole missional discipleship relationship. When we fully are disciples of Jesus, the joy of it is far outweighs the difficulty of it. It changes us forever, but it makes us just be who God has called us to be, and there's nothing greater than serving God. So we're going to listen to these songs in a minute. I want you to do something this evening. I get a sense in my spirit that there's some of you that are legging it. Is that an English legging it? That's an Essex word, isn't it? Legging it. Is that an Essex word? I went to a conference last week and I had dinner with five pastors from Essex. And they said, look, Pastor Scott, now you're working in Essex. We need to teach you Essex. And I say, all right, bruv. I'm not very good at it, but as you can tell. But on a serious note, in a minute, I want us to listen to these words. And I sense tonight that some of you, you've been running away from dealing with some stuff in your life like Jonah for too long. And it's time just to come and stand before God, or kneel here. Nobody's going to pray with you. We just want you to come and just make a decision tonight to say, God, I've been running away from you for far too long over this issue or that issue or this issue or that issue or this issue or that issue, this issue or that issue. I'm not saying you're not a Christian. But like we heard this morning, it's so easy to be a Christian, but yet forget Jesus. And I sense tonight there's maybe a few of us, maybe more, that just need to come down here. And then they just need to say, God, on that issue, I'm not going to run away anymore. Tonight, I'm going to ask you to help me with it because I know you've got plans for me. And on this issue, it might be somebody else, on this issue, I've been running away from it for too long. I'm going to ask you tonight to help me to deal with it. Catch me in your hands tonight, God, like you did to Jonah, and give me some time to just work it out and then spit me out again to do the things that you've got planned for me to do. See, when we run away from things, especially when God asks us to do something like God asked Jonah, the outcome is never, ever, ever, ever going to be good. Young people, I'm speaking to you as well as all. Just close with this story. You can switch the microphone off the recording for a second.